paints the label. They were just blown to pieces. He continued, PL stem is the intensive stem. Yeah, that's the intensive verb stem in Hebrew. And I mean, he cut him and cut him and cut him and cut him. He was overkill, what you call overkill. And that's like you see Bonnie and Clyde, and they just shoot somebody to pieces, you know. I mean they just shot their car all to pieces. You could go see the car someplace. Anyway, it was a shot to pieces. That's the way that came through Abel.
Well, it makes sense. You can see the keep rage.
It was a ongoing rage. He went into what we call a manic episode. In a lot of psychiatric terms, a manic episode. And he slew and slew and slew and slew and slew and slew and overkill. There was a guy in our neighborhood one time that was stabbed 21 times. The first time he was stabbed, he was killed. But the guy stabbed him 20 more times. It wasn't enough. And that's a lot. That's the kind of killing that it wasn't just he stabbed him once, he didn't get mad and throw one rock at him and hit him in the head or whatever. It was, he just kept on smashing him, you know, just kept on. Well,
did he hit him?
He must have hit him.
I don't know if Adam and Eve called his son.
No. Going back, first of all, Adam was given a job, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He not only says, God didn't say, just say, don't eat. He gave him some say, things to do. And what was the thing he was supposed to do at the garden?
He was a steward.
He was a steward, and he was supposed to guard it. From what?
From
evil. Now, was Adam guarding the garden when Eve was approached by the hush?
No.
He was off kicking back, sleeping or doing something. I don't know. Maybe he was enjoying his favorite fruit out there or whatever. I don't know what he was doing, but he was doing something else. What he wasn't supposed to be doing, because he wasn't guarding his wife. He was the one who was found in fault, remember? He was the one that passes on the sin because of what he did. He wasn't guarding. And then Cain and Abel, they had a child, and they called Cain gotten. That's what Cain means, gotten. And Eve says, I have gotten the man. And in Hebrew it says, even the Lord. He was the Messiah, they called. When Cain was the firstborn. Well, he wasn't the Messiah from a long shot. And that this is when they saw the firstborn, the one that they had gotten, even the Lord, turned out to be a murderer because of their sin. Their sin. They would not have passed the sin nature on to their children had they not sinned. So there we have their cause. They see the fruit of their sin in their first child, whom they thought was the Messiah. That was a quite a disappointment. And to, back in the Old Testament, when a person died, always since the creation, there has been a place in the Old Testament that was called Sheol. In that little book that I wrote, you see the term from hell and everything. There's a place called Sheol. Sheol means the place asked about. And in the New Testament times, there's a Greek word, Hades, and that means the place unseen, that they had never seen. No one had ever seen hell and come by. All right? But in the Old Testament, Sheol was, I wish I could write on the blackboard. It's really nice. But anyway, I don't want to mess up their.
That's right, isn't it?
Alright, let's look. Let's do something. I'll do that, okay? I'll type it.
I'll just erase this stuff, because I don't guess it's
This is last week's stuff anyway, all right?
Yeah, it's last week.
Besides that, we ought to be able to use a lot more of the different ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, here, back in Adam's time, there was Sheol. Okay, Sheol, that's the way he spelled it, like that. All right? And in Hebrew, it's like this. Like that. Okay? And this Sheol, the place asked about, they asked, where did the table go? That's what they asked. Where did he go? Well, God, now first of all, God, when God said, where art thou, Adam? Did he know where Adam was?
Yeah, sure he did.
But why didn't he ask the question? He wanted Adam to know where he was. It wasn't that God didn't know where he was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. When he says, Cain, where is your brother? It wasn't that he didn't know where his brother was. He wanted Cain to sin. There was a woman one time that had a menstrual cord for 12 solid years. She was dying to death. There was a great crowd pressing on Jesus as he was going through, and this woman had spent every dime she had going to the doctor. She spent the money that was left bread on the table. She didn't have any food to eat, and she was bleeding to death. And she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And she was healed instantly. And Jesus stopped right there. And he said, who touched me? You think Jesus knew who touched him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew who touched him. He knew exactly who touched him. But you would not have that account written in the scriptures of the New Testament if he had not said what he said. He said, who touched me? And then Peter says to him, Lord, he says, there's over 10,000 people here. That's overflowing. That's what the term is. And that means over the 25. He said, there are thousands of people here, and they're pressing against us, and you ask me questions. See, we can have to squeeze through. And who touched you? And Jesus says, demons went out of you. Dynamite went out of you. Power went out of you. And the woman came up and she told him why. She said, I've lost everything that I have. And she said, Master, I can't believe it. And he said, Lord, this is your gift. What did he say in the original language? He says, you are now saved. You are saved. You are born again. Not only was she healed, but she was born again. We would not have that account in the scriptures if Jesus had not asked him that way. He knew that he knew that that would be understood. That's why he did that. But Cain went into the land of the offering. That's the land of the offering.
There was a punishment of God. God didn't.
Well, he did not.
They were on that then.
But they still asked, where did Abel go?
Right, yeah.
Okay, where did he go? Now, there was a place at one time. Listen, here's the earth, okay? Right, here's the earth. And here is heaven. We know that if you. The word says, the Bible says, that if you ascend to the northern part of the earth and straight up into the third heaven, this is the will of God. This is heaven, okay? And when it talks about Sheol, it's always down. It's called down under the earth. Down under the earth. Here's the earth. Where's down under the earth?
South.
South. Well, down here. Now, this is. From all I can, I'm coming to a piece of our Bible again. And this place of departed spirits, as far as I can understand, was called Abraham's bosom. And my hearing is, and there's a gulf between paradise, remember is an old Persian word. It comes in the Hebrew as paradigm. It comes in the Greek as paradise. It comes in the Indian as paradise. It's just like the word amen. It comes all the way from Persian in Hebrew and in the Greek and in the English. The same word, amen. Okay, well, it's a Persian word for paradise. This is where it is. The word paradise means pleasure spot. What did God, when he built the garden, it was called a pleasure spot? A paradise. Okay? And God made that paradise. There is another paradise that God made. And the first one in that paradise evidently was Satan.
Alright, Abel?
Or not Cain, but Abel. Alright? Abel. And then there was a place of the departed spirit up here on the table. It's the place of harvest. And there was a gulf fixed between here and there. And I think at one time before Jesus went back to heaven and took all these things, I think that they were all down here. Because the Lord has not performed yet in the time and space we have. God has not performed yet. But down here, it's very well. But we hear, now we've seen in Luke 16 chapter, we see an example of this. We have the rich man, and the original language, it calls him Dionysus. Okay? You hear him called Dionysus. Anyway, his name is Nineveh. And he says, then he tells the story, and it's not just a story, it's not a parable, it's a real story. It's a real historical story of a rich man named Nineveh and a poor man named Lazarus that sat in the rich man's gate, and he licked the dogs licked his wounds because he was a leper or had some type of boils or something on him. And that he was a vapor, absolutely. The Pocoi, is what it says, he couldn't have any way of providing food for himself. So he ate grass from a rich man's table. But he was the same man. That's the truth. Because when he died, he went to paradise. And then when Nineveh died, he went to Hades. And then we don't see Lazarus looking over the head of him. We see him over there. But we do see Nineveh looking over into Abraham's bosom and seeing him discussion. And he's talking over there and he's a torment. And he said, Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus over here so he can give you thank you. Now, you ask me sometimes what we look like when we're departed. Our body says here. But we have filled with some sort. I don't understand that. We have four. Because Lazarus had a thing. And the rich man had tongue. And he was a torment. He said, let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue in torment. Well, he said, can't do that. You've already made your decision in life. You've done it. It's over with. It's fixed. Well, he was there. And he said, send someone back because I have five brothers. Did the rich man in hell have a memory of his earthly life? Yes. Do we? I don't know. That's why I don't think we, the Bible, the way it talks it, it's not a joke. Well, I don't know if somebody brought it out there and all that. Oh, Jim Howard. That we, when we're saved, when we go to heaven, we won't remember the lost people in our family. That's one of the things. Or else it would be appointed. Okay? Anyway, we see hell and paradise down here together. But when the Lord went down, he went down into hell, he said. Well, this is where it was. Then he took captivity on high. Now when you die in this age, you go to heaven. You will not have a body, but you have a body. You'll have this body, but you have a spiritual body of some kind. So people will recognize it.
And Hades is still there.
Hades is still down here,
there.
And it's a
holding place.
Heaven is here, and it's a holding place for the judgment for all the lost, for all the saved. And then after you're saved and are after your resurrection, your body's resurrected, then you are in the final glory, and you're in those in hell will be in the final hell fire. Actually, hell will be going to be the lake of fire, which is the eternal hell, will be the eternal.
So your purgatory
and
Catholic Church,
is
that
in the purgatory and the Catholic Church is in the
resurrection of water. See? You're baptized on his death. Alright? That's the baptism pictures a death, burial, and resurrection. So therefore sprinkling with new leaves. By the word of the word baptizo, I hear some of these Calvinists, I hear all the world's his name.
Andy.
Fred. No one. Harold Camping.
Harold Camping, boy, he drives me crazy.
He comes on there with some of the most ridiculous spiritualizing of the scriptures that I've ever heard in my life. And I tell you the truth, spiritualizing the scriptures away is as bad as not believing, as far as I'm concerned. When you spiritualize the truth away, you may as well just not believe it. But he says the word bapto or baptizo means sprinkling. It's an ordinance. You'll never find anywhere in any ancient Greek manuscripts at all that it means to sprinkle or to perform an act or something. It means to do it. It was John the Dipper that dipped Jesus. All right, John the Dipper, John the Baptizer, John the Dipper, John the Immerser. The word, our word, immersion, comes from the Latin word mergio. And if you look in the Latin Greek lexicon, you'll see that bapto or baptizo is the equivalent of that is mergio in Latin, where we get our word immerse, which means to get underwater. And that's where it is. That's why they call us Baptists, by the way.
Yeah.
And they call us Anabaptists because we baptize those from other states, because we say, yeah, we're baptized, you're right. You're either baptized or you're not baptized. If you're not baptized right, you're not baptized at all. Well, the Sabbath is and always has been Saturday. Sabbath is Saturday, but it's not Sunday. Now, Harold Camping will try to twist that up and try to use the word Sabbath where it means
There, in the Greek language, the word sabbaton is also to mean a week. A week. Not just Saturday, but a week. Because Saturday was the what? The end of the week. Alright? So they called, if it was a Saturday, it was the week, the end of the week. And how many weeks, how many Sabbaths have you been here? How many weeks have you been here? How many Sabbaths? How many weeks? And the same word was for week. On the first day of the week, as you come together, what day is that? Okay, that's Sunday, the first day of the week. The first day of the new Sabbath. The new week. Sabbaton. Same word.
Sabbath means week.
Yeah, Sabbath means week. And it also can mean a holy day to Israel. But it was one of the same.
So
it was used interchangeably, but with a context you had to figure out which one it was. But the Sabbath is Saturday. But, we meet on Wednesday too.
They want to be correct, right?
They want to keep the law of Moses.
Right, part of the law of Moses and then part of the law.
Mary Ellen White started that. Anytime a woman starts a religion, you already got a problem.
Wait. Her name was Ellen G. White.
Ellen G. White. Anyway, she started that and started off on the wrong premise. Just on the wrong premise.
But
we could worship. We could go to church on any day.
Jesus.
Huh?
They believe in Jesus.
Now they believe in Jesus, but they also believe in Satan was a co-redeemer with Jesus. And Satan is not a co-redeemer.
He's never said anything about that.
Well, you ask him who AZL is.
Scapegoat.
AZL is scapegoat. And he will tell you that he is Satan and he is going to go to hell for everybody. They believe in soul sleep. That when you die, you go to sleep. According to the Bible, when you die, you go straight to either God or straight to hell on the other. You don't go to sleep. You go to... Now, your body looks like it sleeps. When Jesus saw the woman that he called, when he said, Tabitha Kume, he said, may rise. That girl, they said, oh, he says, she's dead. Don't bother the master anymore. And he said, no, she just sleeps. Her body just looks like it sleeps. If your body goes to sleep, it looks like when you die. That's what they call it sleeping, and that's where they try to get that term.
Okay.
But your spirit...
Okay, now I need to know this, okay? If you go straight to heaven, your soul goes straight to heaven or straight to hell. What's with the resurrection?
The resurrection, the anastasia. The resurrection means the same thing again. That's where you put your body, your spirit, and your soul back together. And that's where you stand before God in your body, resurrected body, or else you go to hell in your resurrected body.
What if you've been,
cremated,
your Heavenly Father is still going to put you back.
That's right. You can't hide that I
have
God.
Did you hear that, Grandmother? Don't worry about it.
The dead, the sea will give up its dead. When you go out and somebody's buried at sea, some fish usually eat you. You know, I mean, that's what happens. Some shark or some fish eat you, some scavenger. Well, you turn into refuse then, you know. But God's going to gather all that refuse together and stand you back up. Anastasia, it comes from the word histamine, and ana, which means stand up or stand again. That's what it means. That's what the resurrection anastasia means. Okay? And that's where you get the Russian word Anastasia. Her name means the resurrection. All right. Do you have any other Bible questions while we're scratching around in there? I mean, just getting it all out.
I didn't hear that. Sorry. I was still stuck on this baptism.
Baptized for the dead.
On the business about where you go after you die, to the absent or body scrubs.
Yes.
And I know that there's this confusion about description they made where there's a separation between a paradise park like area and this area of torment.
Mm-hmm.
There appears to be some sort of division or
a goal.
When those guys died and went there was some judgment made.
Well, when the point that sends you to hell or to heaven is wrong.
Well, you're looking for Christ.
That's the issue right there. Is what have you done with Christ? What have you done with Christ in your life? That is the decision where you go. But there are degrees of hell. There's some people are going to be in a lot of torment, and some people are in lesser torment. That's just a flat fact. You know, the Bible talks about degrees of hell. It talks about, Jesus says, it'll be more tolerable in the judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for Capernaum and Chorazin, the cities that heard his word with belief. Why would it be more tolerable? Because they had Jesus walking among the Sodom and Gomorrah preaching to them. They didn't have as much of the truth as Chorazin and Capernaum did. And it's over and over again, the Tyre and Sidon will raise up in judgment against this nation. They will raise up as a witness, as a testimony, because they all repented. And you didn't, he said. And they will be more tolerable. More tolerable. What does more tolerable mean? More tolerable? You can handle it easier. So that means that there's going to be places in hell that are not tolerable at all. But you know what? The bad thing about, boy, I don't even like to talk about it, to tell you the truth. People, I taught on hell one time in the church, and one of the people in the class came and complained to the pastors here, and they were horrible. But hell is a bad place. Don't go there. And everybody you know tried to get them not to go there.
I got saved.
There's nothing you can. What?
That day you preached.
I preached on hell, didn't I?
Yeah, you said hell, and that's where I got saved.
Hell is a bad place.
Okay, now,
is
it going to be a constant struggle? How is it going to be? I die. Okay. That was kind of good. My sister chose something that just comes from this. And so I guess what I want to do is, the minute that she pulled the trigger, she drove.
Suicide doesn't seem to be. It does not. That, your decision with what you've done with Christ does. Not suicide. Mm. That's not a sin unto what we can be, eternal sin or anything else.
So you know,
the unpardonable.
The
unpardonable. Catholic Church teaches that, and it's rubbed off on them. Yeah, probably. I think.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
I grew up in that church.
Yeah.
I know
what they do. That doesn't send you to hell. Samson killed himself. And even Saul killed himself. And I believe Saul was saved, but he was totally, absolutely a rebellious child of God. He was rebellious. And he died, and he ended up killing himself. Well, he's with the Lord. Samson's with the Lord. He's in the Hall of Fame in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And that doesn't send you to hell. What you do with Jesus Christ sends you to hell. What you didn't do. But hell was a bad place. You know how you feel right now? Boy, you don't feel like me. I got jerked around by a Mustang yesterday, and I hurt so bad. I tried to catch a Mustang, and I do the old thing. Anyway, she jerked me around and hurt my shoulder out of the place. And I hurt so bad last night and today, and when I was moaning and groaning and getting out of bed this morning. Hurting. You know what? People in hell are going to hurt like that. Their body is going to be raised in corruption, but it's going to be eternal. They're going to be in torments forever, hurting. And not only all of the torments that they died, the cancers or whatever they died with, the pain of that, they're going to be in eternal hell with all the flames hurting them too. That's a bad place with all the toothaches, all the headaches, the bad knees and ankles. arthritis. It's going to be there, but it's going to be forever. That's a bad place. Don't go there. That man, Nineveh, he says, I don't want my five brothers to come here. Send somebody back so they won't come here. Well, he still was a conscious and he had compassion on his brothers because he knew that he had made the wrong decision. And you know what? That's the point. How many torments are there? Conscious. You're going to remember. You're going to grieve. You're going to breathe and choke, cough, and hurt, and heaven. You're in glory. Well, I mean, wouldn't you rather be there? Real alone. And by the way, Satan is going to be just another worm. He's not going to be the king in hell. He's going to be just another suffering individual. That's what he's going to be. If you heard this sermon again this morning, Brother Hernando, would you want to be saved again? Hell's a bad place. Don't go there. You don't have to. You don't have to go there.
There's more hope for America. You know, there's all these Christians and stuff, and I said, well, there was no hope. I mean, it wasn't Nineveh. You said we brought up Nineveh.
Yeah.
And now Jonah was
supposed to be a priest.
Yeah, he was God's only little priest there.
Why
didn't that hope? That's what God wants us to do here in his country.
He wants us to preach. We ought to preach. We know this. We know America and all the world's program for the Antichrist today. But we ought to see everybody saved that we can see saved. We ought to see everybody saved that can be saved, that will allow themselves to be saved forever. You know, teach the Word of God, preach the Word of God with your life and from your mouth and with your testimony and whatever. Teach it, be a witness wherever you go on your job and with your family and whatever, always. And, you know, your family is very close to you, and you want to see them saved. Yeah, I think almost all of your family is saved. Still some of them are. But there's a whole bunch of them that I baptized here. I want
to.
Well, just keep on witnessing, keep on preaching. You know what? You can even be a Catholic.
Some are.
That's what I did.
Some of them are.
Because I talked to maybe my nephew, he's going to be a priest, or he is a priest. I found out I knew more than him about the Bible.
Oh, yeah. They know
tradition. He didn't know what I was talking about.
They know tradition.
A simple story in the Bible. Yeah, this one's a tradition.
They know the traditions. They study traditions. They study the edicts of the popes and so on. They give you an answer.
They follow men.
But some of them are saved. Some of them are really saved. I think probably there's some Seventh-day Adventists that are saved.
Yeah,
even though they've got the work of Christ mixed up with the work of Satan. There's some of them. Good old saved Methodists. Boy, I mean, some of them are, you know, even though they believe in works for salvation, some of them are saved.
Yeah.
They are. And there's an experience, a personal experience with Christ with these things. And some of them are. I don't know. Well, about your nephew?
Say Joseph?
Yeah. Do you think he's saved?
Well, I think he's saved. I don't know. He don't know a lot of simple stuff.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
so.
Whatever, but just keep on witnessing to him. Witness to him with the Bible. The Bible might wake him up one of these days. You know, I mean, the Bible, the Word of God is extremely powerful. It is powerful. It's sharper than the two-edged sword.
Like you said, continue to preach, you know, like Brother Roger, we continue to preach, pastor preach, Roger and teachers like you, because even Catholic people listen to Brother Roger on the radio. They say, "Hey, yeah, I listen to that guy," you know. But they're Catholic, and they're going to die Catholic.
Well,
but they listen to it. Hey, I know if you listen to it, hey.
The Word of God,
He
is going, not going to return unto God void. If a frog could croak it, or a parrot could preach the Word of God, enough of it, or a dog could bark it, it will not return unto God void. It won't. It is going to do its job.
Thank you. See a lot of Catholics here now. Because they heard, like, the Roger, simple stuff, you know, just preaching the Word. It's like Billy Graham, it's just...
I try to make it where you can understand it. You know, what I've always tried to do is I try to bring those beautiful, wonderful Bible truths down to you, and the Greek and Hebrew, or anybody can understand it. They used to tell me, when I was in college seminary, they said, it's so easy to use. I said, it's hard for me. I didn't get a lot of it.
Yeah, I think it was easy for me.
Well, you know,
24 hours a day, you know.
I did. I slept the word. I dream in Greek and in Hebrew and things. It's just, you know, but it's the Word of God. I wouldn't even study.
It's being used by God. I don't care what happens, you know, in your life. So you're going to be used by God, you know, because you really believe.
Well, God expects us to be faithful. That's one thing He expects us to be. I didn't want to get up this morning. I said, well, God expects us to be faithful. When He's faithful to us, let's be faithful to Him. Let's be dismissed in prayer. I know it's running over. Thank you. And if you have Bible questions and stuff, that's what we're here for. I'm going to try to bring some of them beautiful secrets and hard to see things down to where you can understand. That's the whole thing. Because you can't understand them, they're still secrets. They're only secrets to the uninitiated.
That's some type of mystery.
Yeah. Secrets and the mysterion.
Yeah, there you go.
Brother Hernando, we just dismiss the prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for this time that we shared with you, Father. Questions and answers, Father. I pray that we leave here, Father, knowing what you are thinking, what you are thinking. And thank you for sharing our past and present. Love you, Father.
might as well just go right in. We are called upon God to give of our money and ourselves to serve Him. And He allows us to, well, we say we give God 10% of what we make, and we get to keep 90%. That's a really good deal. But there's more to it than that. There's a lot of spiritual things that are tied into that. 1 John, the Gospel of John, there's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then the Book of Revelation that were written by John the Apostle. Well, in 1 John, John says, "These things I write unto you, little children, that you might know that you have eternal life. These things I write unto you that you might know that you have eternal life." He writes in other places, "These things I write unto you that you..."